Our scripture reading this evening comes from the first gospel in the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. And we'll be reading verses 15 to 20 of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 20. This is the word of the Lord. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Thanks be to God for His Word. Now, unfortunately, I have some bad news. Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, California, is not a perfect church. And the people of this church, well, we're not perfect either. We fall short of God's commands every single day. But yet, as we've been going through the canons of Dort in our evening series, we do realize that we are a redeemed people. And that is truly good news, isn't it? That despite our failures, despite our shortcomings, God came down to us in the fullness of time by sending His incarnate Son to reconcile us and to redeem us to a holy and just God. And even today, even in this place, God has come down to us in the preached word and the sacraments. And He does that every Lord's Day as a feast prepared for pilgrims in this present evil age who are weary pilgrims. That we are reminded constantly of the full and complete work of Jesus Christ and what He did, as which motivates us to go out into the world to give back to God our works of gratitude and our works of thankfulness. Well, in this final head of doctrine in the canons of Dort, we're exploring God's preserving His children, even though we will face the trials of life. This evening we heard in the canons of Dort, the assurance that God gives His children doesn't cause us to become proud or to be self-assured in our own works. But this is, in fact, the true and real source of our humility. We know where we come from. We know where we would be if it wasn't for God's grace and God's intervention. And God has given us assurance as His adopted children. And that motivates us to produce good fruit. However, we do live in this present evil age, an age where we are constantly under attack by Satan himself. And brothers and sisters, we are not to be naive. The church is under attack as well. Just because we came into this sanctuary and closed the doors to the outside doesn't mean that Satan's not going to come in. As we heard this morning, as I mentioned in Sunday school, that there are false teachers in the church. And even in the church right now, across not only this country, but across the world. And God has given us ministers and elders who are to be diligent to protect the church. Well, in our text this evening, Jesus is addressing our being attacked and our facing the evil one as He comes and attacks us, especially in the form of false prophets. And Jesus has a real concern for His hearers about these false prophets. But He also wants to assure them of their faith. So it's important for us to think about tonight that we can be assured of our faith and our salvation because of the fruit that God produces in us. So think with me this evening about the proving of good fruit, the products of two trees, and the persons producing that fruit. So first of all, the proving of good fruit. Well, Jesus' point in giving this parable is that there is a distinction between true and false prophets. And then you just look really briefly at where this parable and this speech of Jesus comes. It comes at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Earlier in chapter 6, Jesus tells his disciples how they are to pray using those words of the Lord's Prayer. And of course, you know, one of the petitions in that prayer is, Lord, keep us from temptation and keep us from the evil one. In a very real sense, in the same sermon, the same speech that Jesus is giving, Jesus is telling those who are listening some more about that very petition in the Lord's Prayer. He's helping us identify in some way how the devil works through false prophets and answering our prayer of keeping us from the evil one in that way. Well, if Jesus helps us identify which prophets are false, then we also can tell the reverse, which prophets are true. You can go into an orchard and pretty much tell right away which trees are bearing good fruit and which one are bearing bad fruit, which tree is healthy and which tree is unhealthy. There's a real distinction that can be made, and Jesus says that distinction can be made of true and false prophets as well. All the way back in Deuteronomy 18, God even tells the people how they are to discern between a true and a false prophet. A prophet is false if his words don't come true. If they say something in the name of the Lord and it doesn't come to pass, God says he wasn't a true prophet. You don't need to listen to him. If somebody comes in the name of the Lord, it will actually come to pass. That's the way that the devil works even in the church today. It's very important for us to remember that the devil works through false prophets in the church. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul warns Timothy, the young minister Timothy, that there will be false prophets in the church. There will be teachers who just want to suit their own passions and will stray away from the true gospel message. John in 1 John warns his people that there are antichrists out in the world, even in the church. So we have to be reminded of that. We have to be on watch and on guard for false prophets. Again, we can't be naive about the devil's tactic. He is, in fact, attacking us. And this can come in many different forms, but one of the most damaging is when false prophets come into the church, false teachers. Think about the damage that Satan could do if he actually got into the church and started to deceive the people sitting in the pews and deceiving the ministers and the elders as well. What if Satan works in the church to tell people something other than what Jesus Christ has done for our sins? The devil doesn't care who we look at as long as it's not Jesus Christ. That's his tactic, using false teachers in the church. And that's Jesus' point in verse 15, that there are wolves in sheep's clothing. But not just ordinary wolves, ravenous wolves. Wolves that only have one thing on their mind, to attack the church. Children, maybe you've seen one of those nature programs where the wolves attack a deer. Or even maybe you have a dog that when you feed the dog, you can't get in between him and the food. Those wolves or those dogs will do anything they can to get at their food. That's what a ravenous wolf is. And that's what these false teachers are like in the church. They have one thing on their mind. They want to destroy the church. John in Revelation 12 tells us that Satan, when he was kicked out of heaven, he came to earth and he was angry. He had one thing on his mind, and that was to destroy the church. Those who proclaim God's name, he's going to attack. When Paul went to Berea, Luke tells us in Acts 17, verse 11, that the people were making sure that Paul was being faithful to Scripture. They're making sure that Paul was not a false prophet. No preacher is immune to being held up to the Word of God as the ultimate standard of what they say. If Paul was a false prophet, and if the people in Berea found that out, they would label Paul a false prophet and kick him out of the church. he would not be bearing good fruit. So Jesus uses this parable to help the people to be aware of true and false prophets. Jesus tells us we are to watch out. We are to pay attention. Well, what are we to pay attention to? Their fruit. But what is this fruit? If we are to look for the fruit, we need to think a little bit this evening about what that fruit actually is. Very simply, it's looking at the fruit of somebody's life and how they conduct themselves. If they proclaim to be a Christian, how do they conduct themselves? Do their lives correspond to their profession? If they confess to be a true prophet and they confess to be a Christian, can you see that? Jesus brackets this parable by making the statement, you will recognize them by their fruits. True and false prophets will be proved by their fruit. But before we move on to our next point, I need to assure you that there is a possibility of good fruit. However, we might not even be able to see that fruit directly in our own lives because we know that we are sinners and we know that we are perfect. We don't conform to God's law. And we read in Article 12 of the Canons of Dort, Head 5, that our assurance is actually the source of our humility. But yet, God does work in us through the power of the Holy Spirit, and He does increase our sanctification. I think it's illuminating at the end of Matthew's Gospel when he speaks about the final judgment, that those who Christ brings into the kingdom had no idea that what they were doing was serving the Lord. They had no idea what they were doing was being done unto Christ. It was such a part of who they were. Others could see the fruit, but yet they were just acting naturally. Being redeemed people, they were doing what came naturally to them. They were producing fruit, but they always didn't see it themselves. And that brings us to our second point. The products of these two trees. If there is this true possibility that Christians can produce good fruit, this is where Jesus uses that illustration of the two trees. Because there's also the possibility of a bad tree producing bad fruit. The other one is diseased. Now, you might be wondering, well, Jesus is talking about true and false prophets. Where does that come into us as ordinary Christians? Well, later in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus uses this exact same metaphor and applies it to all people in general. So we can really see, even in our text, the fruit of good and bad Christians is something that's able to be seen. True and false Christians themselves do produce fruit. There is a fruit that is produced, either good or bad. This is what we are to recognize, and this is what we are to prove to be good or bad. Well, what does a good tree producing good fruit actually look like? Well, in many ways, the Sermon on the Mount is a good place to begin. There are those who are persecuted for their faith. There are those who are salt and light to the world. People who love their enemies. Those who don't retaliate. Those who are anxious. And those that don't judge. This is what Jesus has been talking about in the Sermon on the Mount. This is what citizens of the kingdom of God are to look like. They look not only on the outward aspects of God's law, but the inward aspects as well. God's law demands our hearts to be right before God. So the fruit of a Christian can be seen in the Sermon on the Mount. But there's another place that we can look, a very famous passage when we're talking about fruit, and you probably have had it in your mind for the last 10 minutes. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23, where Paul lays out that famous passage of the fruit of the Spirit. But notice that it's a singular fruit. All of these things are to characterize Christians. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, faithfulness. Christians just can't pick and choose which one of the fruit they want to be. I want to be a love tree. And another Christian says, I want to be a self-control tree. Now this is the fruit. All Christians produce this very same fruit. A good tree produces one kind of fruit. one that bears the fruit of the Spirit. The trees may all look differently because we are all individuals in this world, but we all bear the same fruit by the power of the Holy Spirit. But it's very important for us to remember that we bear good fruit and we are good trees because of Jesus Christ. The fruit that we bear isn't called the fruit of the Spirit for nothing. The Spirit bears this fruit in believers. And it bears fruit in our lives because we are regenerated. We're being sanctified as justified believers. We're going to look at that a little bit more in the final point. But I didn't want you to think for one moment that this is something we need to come up with all on our own. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And Article 13 of the Canons of Dort is helpful here, that we do need to be warned and we are to be watchful and pray for God's help in preventing us from backsliding, since it's our nature to do that. We need God's help. This is why Christians need to hear the gospel proclaimed every single week. We need the law to remind us of who we are in Jesus Christ and who we are before God without Jesus Christ. We need to flee to Him. Then the gospel comes and tells us that now there's no condemnation, that we have been saved in Jesus Christ. It's what Christ has done for us that's the wind in our sails to allow us to go through our life and produce good fruit out of gratitude. So a good tree produces good fruit. And there's some examples in Scripture on what that looks like. But what does a bad tree bearing bad fruit look like? Well, imagine if you pick some apples off of a few trees in an orchard and you go back into your house and you bite into those apples and they're dry, they're hard, they don't taste very good. You would think, well, those trees were bad. It's easy to tell bad fruit when you see it. Well, the false prophets that Jesus is talking about and false Christians, they produce fruit that is dry, that is hard, and that is dead. Before Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, he talks about the fruit or the works of the flesh in Galatians 5:19-21. Listen to those fruit that a bad tree will produce. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul tells us in these verses that this fruit is evident in the lives of people. We will be able to recognize that bad fruit when we see it. To do things that are contrary to God's law means that you're bearing bad fruit. And if one is bearing bad fruit, then the tree that it comes from must be destroyed, because it's diseased and it's unhealthy. The problem isn't with the fruit, the problem is with the tree itself. Matthew 12, Jesus uses a passage very similar to ours. How can you speak good when you are evil? The evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. Jesus is talking about the heart. The innermost part of our being is the place where this fruit comes out. If the starting point is evil, and the fruit itself will be evil as well. So if a person claims to be a Christian, if they claim to be a true prophet, but yet they produce bad fruit, then something is definitely wrong. The faith that they have is dead. To have true faith in Jesus Christ and to be truly regenerated by the Holy Spirit means that you have a living and you have a true faith. This is the point that James makes in his epistle in James chapter 2. I will show you my faith by my works. James says that our faith is evident by our fruit. If you don't have that fruit, then your faith isn't shown to be true by the works. James says it's dead faith. If faith is dead, it brings out the fruit of the flesh, not the fruit of the Spirit. And if that's the case, then listen to what Jesus and Paul tells us about that. Jesus in verse 19 says that those trees will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Paul in Galatians 5:21, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus especially is giving out curses. He is throwing down judgment on all those who do not produce good fruit. To be thrown into a fire is a direct reference to being thrown into hell, where the wrath of God comes upon you unmediated without Jesus Christ, as we heard this morning in the sermon. That's what hell is for those who don't have true faith. I used to live in a house that had a grove of avocado trees behind it, but all the trees were dead, and were dead for many years. At one point, they just came in, cut them all down, and sold them for firewood. That's all they were good for. They didn't produce any more fruit. They were only good to be burned. Well, if bad trees are only good for being burned, well, what are good trees good for? What do you do with good trees? Well, you water it. You trim it. You protect it. But most importantly, you pick off that good fruit and you eat it. You eat it because it is good for you and it nourishes your body. Well, when a Christian bears good fruit because of the working of the Holy Spirit, God uses that fruit to edify and nourish those around us, the body of Christ. This is what Jesus talks about in Matthew 25, and what that looks like when God uses this fruit. Listen to Matthew 25, 35 to 36. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. When there is a true prophet, they speak and they nourish and they edify God's people by giving them spiritual food. That's what they need to grow and to be healthy. That's what you're doing in church here this evening. God is feeding you. He is nourishing you. He is watering and He is trimming His trees. Well, what else did I say we do with good fruit trees? We protect them. A good tree isn't going to stay good if we don't protect it, if we don't keep it from vandals or keep it from becoming diseased. But God does the same thing with His children. He protects us. That's how we end the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. God is ruling His kingdom. He is protecting His children. He is shepherding His flock as the good shepherd. One of my favorite answers in the Heidelberg Catechism is the answer to, what do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth? Well, part of that answer is, because He is my God and Father, because of Christ His Son. I trust Him so much that I do not doubt that He will provide everything I need in body and soul, and He will turn to good whatever evil He sends upon me in this life. He is able to do this because He is Almighty God. He desires to do this because He's a faithful Father. God is indeed a faithful Father who is able and willing to protect His children. He protects us bearing good fruit. Well, that brings us to our final point, the persons that produce this fruit. Well, very simply, all I need to say is that Christians produce good fruit. Only those with true faith can do good works. Question and answer 91 of the Heidelberg Catechism says, only that which flows out of true faith can be called good. The fruit of the Spirit needs to have the Spirit. Only Christians can have the Spirit of Christ working in them. Those who are justified in Christ are those who are being sanctified by the Spirit and are producing good fruit. Christ in John 15, verses 4 to 6, says, As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Christ is the vine, and we are the branches. Christ is the tree. If a good tree bears good fruit, then the perfect tree of Jesus Christ will bear good fruit. It can only bear good fruit. But you may be thinking that anything we do here on earth cannot be called good. It's not worthy of being called good because we know who we are. We know how sinful we are. Well, brothers and sisters, the reason we can call them good is because of the person and work of Jesus Christ. We are perfectly righteous in Christ, and we are grafted in to that tree. We are grafted in to that vine. Therefore, our fruit will be good. Personally, we know that our obedience is only but a small beginning, and that it will never be perfect. But we also know, as Paul tells us in Philippians 1, that he who began a good work will finish that work and bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Now, it's this person that is rooted in Jesus Christ, this person that gets their strength from God the Father, is who the psalmist is thinking of in Psalm chapter 1. Listen to the first few verses of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. That man is blessed who is rooted next to streams and has his roots in the living waters. We are those trees planted by the living waters of Jesus Christ. And we will bring forth fruit, and our leaf will never wither. These people are fed on the law of God, and they meditate on them. God nourishes and provides the food for his children. Well, people of God, we are to be strengthened by this understanding that we are grafted into Jesus Christ, and we are being regenerated, which means we will bear good fruit, even if we don't always see it ourselves. But we will also be protected. We will also be nourished by our Heavenly Father, even though we are going to be under attack by the devil himself. But yet Christ has told us that he will never leave us, he will never forsake us, and that we will be able to recognize the false prophets by their fruit. And the devil is not our master. Christ has defeated him on the cross, and he holds no power over us. The false prophets hold no power over us. Surely he will attack us. And maybe there are times right now where you are being attacked specifically by the devil himself. But God will, by his grace, give us a peace that passes all understanding as we rest in the completed work of Jesus Christ, and we are united to him just as branches are united to a vine. That's the good news. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you that you have grafted us into the living vine of Jesus Christ. For, Lord, if we were left to be planted by ourselves, we would maybe spring up for a moment, but as soon as the trials of life come in, we will wither and die. But Lord, you have grafted us into the living vine. And because of that, we cannot help but produce good fruit, for the Spirit of Christ is in us, and he is regenerating us even now. Lord, may we be strengthened by that. Even though we face many trials in this life, and we fall short so often, Lord, we ask that you will continually uphold us and guide us and protect us as you promised you will. And that we will, Lord willing, see good fruit, and we will be able to serve you out of gratitude by serving the body of Christ in whatever way you would have us do. Lord, may we just always rest in the work of Jesus Christ, and all these works, may they come out of gratitude. Lord, we cannot merit anything before you, except if you look at your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he has done for us. In your Son's most holy and precious name, amen.